Would also like to pass on, Katie had received a text from Bob and Dorothy and wanted to send their deepest appreciation for the meal that was sent to them. They thoroughly enjoyed everything, and I think they'll be eating on it for quite a while. But they deeply appreciate it. They send their love and also how much they deeply miss every one of you. You will turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Be reading this evening, starting in verse 4 and going through verse 10. Paul writes here, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." John Wesley said, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven." You know, there's nothing that scares Satan more than a Christian who is passionate about their faith and who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and who are willing to do whatever it takes to live like one who is chosen by God. Such a Christian, doesn't matter whether it's male or female, oftentimes makes us uncomfortable because we see in them something that we want to see in ourselves, but are reluctant to become, to live out what we believe would automatically cause people to see us differently than we are right now. And maybe that's what bothers us or scares us so much. You know, when I think about the church that we read of in the book of Acts, where we see the congregations that Paul starts and then he leaves without a lot of deep training, I'm amazed to read letters like the one that we have here in 1 Thessalonians. These people have been saved for only a short time, and yet their reputation has gone out wide and far. What has been said about them is that they are transformed people. These are people who once followed idols, who worshiped all kinds of gods, but now they are standing up for the only true God. So what causes people to live such changed lives back then, and today for that matter? And how can we, who have been in the fellowship of Christ for many years, have that same passion and reputation? Let's again revisit 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." You know, I do not believe in the doctrine of predestination that is taught by many denominations. I do believe, however, that God has called and chosen and marked those who believe and has marked them with His Holy Spirit. Not only has God saved some, not that God only saves some and desires to eternally punish the majority. I do believe that according to the fullness of God's written word, that God draws people through their faith. The idea of being chosen by God or marked by God for something special, in this case, is showing the world the saving message. More accurately, helping us to see the fullness of the salvation account that Paul is referring to. You know, everyone that reads the Bible, and we can give the book of the Bible to everybody on the face of the earth, and a majority will not believe it the way we believe it. I think God opens up a lot of things to our eyes, those who are sincere in the message, those who truly understand or want to believe. Explore for a moment this idea of being chosen and marked by God. Ask yourself what God has called you to do, and are you living up to that? No Christian is called by God to simply be a taker of salvation and not a giver of God's good works. We're not once saved, always saved. We're not. God has called us to do more than just grasp hold and be an heir of salvation. That we can be saved, but we may not get that crown if we do not do God's good works as He has commanded us to do. For too long, many want to wear just that helmet of salvation, but they don't want to put on the rest of the armor of God. God has marked us. He has called us, just as He did these Christians here in Thessalonica. Living the calling of God not only identifies us as someone different from the world, but it allows God's message to come to life in a world that rarely seeks to understand God's will. But instead it desires to only live, which the world does, after their own fleshly desires. We are chosen and called. We are to be the beacon through which God continues to touch lives. Have you lived your life in such a way that someone has ever come up to you and say, "How can you endure that? How can you remain so calm when somebody is being so nasty to you?" You see, they see something in you that's different than anybody else who would respond in a different way. I love how Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, where he says to them in verses 4 through 7, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." We look at the wording in verse 7. Paul is saying that God wants to show off Christians, to show His own surpassing grace. God wants the world to see His chosen people so that they can understand what it's like to be chosen by God. But all this begs the question, how do we become the type of Christians that God likes to show off? In verses 5 through 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul gives us an idea. He said, for the gospel didn't come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In our last week's sermon, I said that imitation is the greatest form of flattery, but imitation is also the greatest tool for education. You know, it used to be when I would get another vehicle and I'd have problems with it, I'd go to the parts store and buy one of those Haynes manuals because I wasn't rich enough to buy one of the other really good manuals. And so I would buy one if I had to fix something on the vehicle so that I could save some money and not take it to the garage. Like with Katie's car that she had a long time ago and I replaced the engine. I learned a valuable lesson. What's in the book's not always the way it's supposed to be. It still went to the dealer, to the shop to get it corrected. But I did get the engine in, and it did run for a year. But today I don't do those things. When I have a problem with the vehicle, I Google it on my phone. And I'll get all these different responses on it, and I'll sit there and read through them. And sometimes they'll even have a video that shows me what to do. And I'll look over it and read over it a couple of times till I get it down, and I try to imitate what they're doing, and hopefully I'll have the same result. The Hebrew writer puts it this way in Hebrews 13 and verse 7. He says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follows, considering the end of their conversation. You know, have you ever kind of wondered why? In Paul's inspired writings and being inspired to write to Timothy and to Titus on the qualifications of elders and deacons, of why the standards are so high, those are the ones that we need to imitate. Those who are truly fits the mold that Paul writes about in Timothy and Titus are the ones that we need to emulate in our own actions, in our own responses, the ones that have rule over us. Our children should be able to imitate us if we are leading the life that we want them to imitate. In 3 John verse 11, John says, beloved, follow that not which is evil, but that which is good. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God. So it begs the question, what are our examples of faith? What are we doing to emulate godly character that we see? I saw an awful lot of it this past week. There was a lot of people this past week that spent an awful lot of time in the kitchen. Vicki had spent so much time in the kitchen, I went and told her that we're going to get something. Don't fix dinner. We're going to get something out to eat. I wanted to make sure she still liked being in the kitchen after Thanksgiving was over, at least for a little while. But what do we emulate in the character, the godly character that we see in others? You know, Paul tells them and us that they were chosen by God and that they were seen, and all that was seen in how they lived. They lived the way they did because they imitated the spiritual leaders like Paul and Silas and Timothy. And they even imitated God, even though that they had faced a lot of affliction because of their new way of living. You know, the Christians in Jerusalem also faced the same afflictions. Well, there was a reason why the churches in Galatia and Corinth had sent money for the brethren in Jerusalem. Why Paul was taking up money and funds. They were so ostracized because of their faith, they couldn't even make a living. Paul tells them the result of their transformation in verses 8 through 10. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, and to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So they did a lot in such a short time. They took in that word, they believed it, they lived it. They didn't keep it under a bushel. They put it on a hill. And we need today people, the type of people who receives the word of God and let it change them. We should want to have a life that is opened to God's hand to mold us and to make us after his will. We need to be the person that is willing to change when we see our own sinfulness. And we need to turn to the true and living God. Making changes in our way of life is one of the most difficult things to do. Many of us have been taught things that come from human wisdom and not divine wisdom. And it's difficult for us at times to admit that we need to change the way we think and the way we act. But these Christians did it, and it rang out. The very message of God rang out from these people, not only in the community in which they lived, but their story of faith and perseverance was being told to Christians everywhere. In one of the leading cities of that day, along one of the greatest highways of that day, was a community of Christians who showed the world what it's like to display a faith that changes. It is a faith that is marked by the Holy Spirit. And all that change can only come from God. You're sitting in a movie theater and someone's cell phone rings. It's annoying, isn't it? Especially when they pass the sign that says, turn off your cell phones. How about you're in a deep sleep and that alarm clock goes off in the morning? That's unpleasant, isn't it? But the sound of the good news of Jesus Christ ringing out from the people of God is a glorious sound. You know, I saw and read an interesting phrase this week. It said, we will never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. And I think it's true. The outside world is not seeing us while we're in here. They're seeing us while we're out there. And we are the church. And every place that we go, we are an ambassador of Christ. The one reason this time of the season irritates me so mad is because it's supposed to be a season of joy and happiness. It is a season of selfishness and anger and pushiness. People get frustrated and tired and they let it show out. They take it out on the people who are serving them, either behind the cash register. And because of their frustration, then those people get frustrated because they've been dealing with it for 8 hours. We need to be different from all that. And not just this time of the year, but every single day of the year. We need to be a church seen on the outside. We need to let the world see us the way we are. There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out. Ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out. Ring it out. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity tonight to change your life forever. There is no greater thing in this world, not your marriage to your spouse, not the birth of your child, that has a greater reward than giving your life to Christ and God and obeying the gospel. It will assure you a home in heaven. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you will be added to God's church. And through a faithful living, you will assure yourself a home in heaven. But maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have not been ringing out the message. Maybe you have not been the church on the outside as you are on the inside. If that is the case, then you need to make things right and ask God for forgiveness. We want to give you that opportunity tonight as together we stand and we sing.